Hello, and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. This week, we'll be looking at how app-based services, notably the ride-sharing service Uber and photo messaging service Snapchat, may change the way regulators view the intersection of big data and privacy protection, especially when companies track location data. Fernando Bojorquez, a partner at law firm Baker Hostetler, specializes in privacy and data security issues and counsels numerous startup companies. He says the Federal Trade Commission and other regulators have become increasingly concerned with the privacy implications of geolocation data and mobile app data security. These tensions may be peaking in response to recent incidents involving Uber, where the company may have inappropriately used rider data. While no law currently exists on the collection of geolocation data without customer consent, it is unlawful for companies' privacy policies to be unfair and deceptive under the FTC's longstanding rules and regulations. Snapchat recently found itself on the wrong side of a complaint because its policy claimed that it did not collect location-based data when in fact it did. We spoke to Bojorquez about these latest developments. He began by discussing the rise of Web 3.0.
With Web 3.0, which is really just the mobile play, the user experience opens this whole other doorway to a whole panoply of uses, not the least of which are advertising and promotion. Right? Because of geolocation and mobile and local location-based services, it now bridges the gap between the online world and the real world. And that's what's most thrilling and also kind of scary about Web 3.0, right? We're entering this era where mobile is connecting everything from the Internet of Things to the Internet of Everything, right? And for you and me and regular citizens and consumers, that's basically connecting these dots between what we do online and what we do offline. That wasn't around. That didn't exist in Web 1.0 and 2.0. Location wasn't a factor. And this is all happening at a breakneck speed.
Bojorquez says long brewing behind-the-scenes tensions between privacy, big data, and mobile technology have come to a head. What's been happening, in particular, with the controversies Uber finds itself in?
The reports are that Uber has this God view where they have a tool that allows them to track Uber users in real time. And the allegations are that certain employees abused that God's View tool by showing it at parties and such, and actually showing it to people who are not even Uber employees. There's also this allegation that one of the Uber managers used the God View tool to track a reporter when she was on her way to an interview. There was also this report about this so-called Rides of Glory, where Uber blogged about tracking users, Uber users, between 10 p.m. and 4 p.m. on weekends to determine which Uber users were having one-night stands. And that sort of opened people's eyes to the potential abuse here when you have companies that are tracking where you are and where you're going.
Geolocation data has great business benefits, but what are the risks?
The problem with location-based services and the risk is that you're dealing with a situation where your mobile device is always on and it's always with you. And it's enabling the collection of an unprecedented amount of information. And it's a type of information that, if not treated appropriately, it can paint incredibly intimate portraits of a person's life. If your phone is with you all the time, with you, Joe, I'm sure you carry your phone everywhere you go. I carry my phone everywhere I go. It knows where I work. It knows where I play. It knows who I visit. And this could pose some serious privacy risks. So say, for instance, you routinely go to a specific clinic. If you are an application that has been tracking a user's whereabouts, they can infer, what type of disease or even some sort of addiction or whatever that a person may be struggling with if they see them going to the same clinic every day or on a routine basis. And then if you combine that level of intimacy with offline data, you've now got incredibly detailed profiles of what consumers are doing. And consumers may or may not even anticipate it being used in that way. The other risk here, I think, is security, right? One essential component of privacy in general is data security. You can't have privacy without having reasonable security of the information that you're collecting. And you can only imagine the parade of horribles if the wrong people or the wrong unauthorized third parties have access to individuals' real-time travels and walkabouts, etc.
How are regulators viewing the privacy implications of mobile and geolocation data? How is the FTC stepping in?
There is no law specifically right now on the books that prevents the collection of geolocation data without consumer consent. I mean, we have laws that protect health data, we have laws that protect financial data and kids' online data, but we don't have anything on geolocation. And you're absolutely right that the one area that regulators have been focusing on right now in terms of the enforcement space is that from the privacy policy perspective. And in other words, as you intimate, when a company adopts a privacy policy, the FTC, under its regulatory unfair and deceptive practice authority, can enforce and go after a company, to bring an enforcement action against a company if practice is unfair or deceptive, if it's not consistent with what it's telling consumers. So in the larger backdrop, the FTC has brought dozens of actions when a company's not complying with their privacy policy, if they're changing it without telling consumers what they're doing, and so forth. In location-based services, there was two startups and emerging tech companies recently found themselves in hot water with respect to location-based services. There was a Snapchat example that was earlier this year. Snapchat represented in its privacy policy that it did not collect location-based information. But when the FTC investigated it, it turned out that Snapchat did in fact collect location-based information. So the FTC charged Snapchat with that misrepresentation, and they eventually reached a settlement where now Snapchat is under, I think, a 20-year consent order where it has to meet certain privacy guidelines and best practices. The other enforcement action deals with this app, the Brightest Flashlight app, where in that case, very similarly, the app didn't disclose to its mobile users that it was collecting and sharing geolocation information in its privacy policy. So it failed to mention it in the privacy policy, and then when the FTC investigated, it found out that it was actually collecting that information. So that's how regulators, and specifically the FTC, has been enforcing the powers they have now with respect to location-based services and geolocation data. On the privacy front, the FTC has made pretty plain in a couple instances that it considers geolocation data as sensitive information for all the reasons we discussed earlier, and that it should and it does deserve a greater level of privacy protection. It mentioned this a few years ago in its seminal 2002 privacy report, where the commission said, look, you know, we've got concerns about local data, location data in mobile, and we call on the business community to start thinking about ways that we can work together to establish standards on how you're going to collect this data and provide consumers with notice as to how the collection is happening. A year or so later, the FTC issued two sort of guideline reports that kind of outlined these basic privacy principles in more detail in the mobile space. Specifically, the one that's most important is this 2013 mobile report, where the FTC really dug into a lot of the issues we covered earlier in this podcast, this unprecedented growth of consumer data, the fact that consumers, that precise information about consumers' locations being collected and can be used to build detailed profiles of consumers in ways that consumers don't anticipate. So that's what's happening on the FTC's front. Other regulators are looking into location-based services as well, and specifically mobile. The California Attorney General, who's been very, very active on the privacy front, released a report last year on mobile privacy in general. And then you also have these self-regulatory organizations like the Digital Advertising Alliance and the NAI and a cornucopia of alphabet soup of self-regulators that have been issuing best practices in the mobile context.
What will the FTC or others look for in an effective privacy by design effort?
So how do you leverage privacy as a business opportunity? How do you take the FTC's recommendations of privacy by design to make it a reality? Well, let me just start with what that means, privacy by design. And basically, this is a concept that has really been around for a while, back since the 70s and the 80s from these fair information principles. And the FTC really crystallized it in the 2012 privacy report I mentioned earlier, which is that privacy by design is something that promotes consumer privacy throughout an organization, and that every development of a company's product and service, that every iteration, companies should sit down and figure out how does it affect consumer privacy. And at its most basic level, how do you do that? Well, you have to really fully understand what kind of data you are collecting and who are you sharing it with. That's at the most fundamental level. And then with respect to specifics, companies need to start considering implementing these privacy protections and management procedures under this rubric of privacy by design. In broad strokes, it's, you know, data security, having a reasonable security having reasonable security protections with respect to consumer information, like encryption, for instance. Having reasonable collection limits so that you're not collecting more than what you need for your business. That you have reasonable retention policies, that you don't keep everything you've ever collected forever. That you have a life cycle where you destroy information when you no longer need it. Ensuring that the data you've collected on consumers, that it's accurate, and that you provide consumers with an opportunity to correct that information if it's wrong. That you have privacy personnel, that you have someone within your organization that is charged and accountable for your data's privacy program. There's also the concept of having a privacy risk assessment, that you have to analyze what data you're collecting and the risks of breaches and so forth, and taking the appropriate steps to protect that data, which could be in addition to firewalls, it could also entail just basic employee training and management. There are technical things like encryption and anonymization tools that you should be considering when you have large amounts of consumer data to ensure consumer privacy throughout the life cycle of those products and services. And at the end of the day, it's about incorporating privacy protections into your practices, that you limit the information you've collected, and that you securely store whatever it is that you're holding on to. That's privacy by design in a nutshell. And for mobile apps, for instance, you know, what that translates to in a very concrete way is, you know, ensuring that you have an accurate privacy policy that identifies the kind of information the kind of personal information you're collecting, who you're sharing it with. It describes the process for how consumers can review and request changes to that information, and that you provide consumers just-in-time disclosures and notice about the location information that's being collected, used, and shared. And what do I mean by just-in-time disclosure? So, for instance, I'm sure you've seen, Joe, when you're on an app, sometimes a pop-up screen will come up and say, so-and-so would like to access your location to send content to you. That kind of best practice has evolved over the last few years through this concept of just-in-time disclosure, that if you're on an app, and the app now wants to use your location to provide you with services or content, that the consumer should be given notice in real time and that of whether or not to allow that app access to your location. And ideally, that kind of notice and opt-in screen should also give you, provide you with a link to a more detailed privacy work, a detail that provides more explanation of the functionality of the location-based services that you're about to enable. Those are kind of sort of the concrete things that companies need to be thinking about when they're working with apps that leverage location-based services to provide services to consumers.
That's all the time we have for this week's podcast. We've been speaking to Fernando Bojorquez, a partner at law firm Baker Hostetler, on the privacy and data security challenges and regulatory scrutiny companies face when they collect location-based data from consumers. I'm Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again next time.